The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What an unbelievable weekend we have coming up for you, including the women's final at the U.S. Open Saturday. Primetime, we got USC Stanford. We got the men's final Sunday, and then Monday Night Football, the debut of Troy and Joe. We got Peyton and Eli, the whole shebang, Broncos and Seahawks. An unbelievable weekend here on ESPN and the family of networks. Meanwhile, speaking of the U.S. Open, hey, Marcus, is this a thing now? People getting their hair cut at sporting events? What are we seeing here?
Gee, that right there is not a thing. First of all, I don't know what the haircut is, but my mans need to be at a real barber shop, okay? Second of all, this is what you pay attention to. Look at the damn dude haircut that's cutting his hair. Don't do that. So shout out to my barbers, Tree, Trail Jack, my sister, and Andy out here in Bristol. Don't ever do this again, bro. Your haircut ain't gonna, it still ain't gonna look good.
He gave him a little skullet.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't
just know. Like a little skullet and then a little fur on the back. Little skullet.
Can you imagine being in a tennis match and some guy's getting a haircut in front of you? I don't know. It's an oddity.
That's a whole new level.
All right, we're live at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. We're rocking and rolling on the eve of the season opener. Cindy, roll it. Let's go. It's time to get up for hour number two. And we're talking Tampa time. Wait until you hear what an old friend says Brady is about to do to the entire NFL. You will hear it right off the top. Then, the QB is the key. On the eve of the opener, can the Bills do enough damage on D to take down Matthew and the Chams? Plus, don't miss Mr. Manning. Eli, live on Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, and making fun of Jeff Saturday. All that and more in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now with the NFL. A day from the opener, 4 days from a Sunday night clash in Dallas between the Buccaneers and Cowboys. Tom Brady facing so many questions this offseason about his commitment, about his team, and more. His former offensive coordinator and longtime confidant Charlie Weiss was on KJM yesterday. Listen to what he thinks is about to happen.
I'd bet on them to win the Super Bowl. That's what the feeling I get. Because when you piss Tommy off, you're pissing the wrong guy off. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's played it that way since he was at Michigan. Every negative thing that anyone could say, he uses it as fodder. So I think that Tampa, you should expect a lot of good things coming out of Tampa.
You know, they gave me that on my radio show yesterday. When I heard it, a thought just popped into my head, Marcus Spears, and that is, I've been looking at this all wrong. I've spent the last month wondering, is Tom Brady really committed to this? Should he have stayed retired? Is whatever it is that's going on in his personal life, which I'll continue to say, it's his business, not ours. But whatever it is that going to get in the way? Are there too many challenges in the offensive line? And all of a sudden, I heard Charlie say that. I thought, wait a minute, I've got this backwards. Tom's about to kill everybody, isn't he? We just talked about a scorched earth tour. Is Brady about to go on one, Swagoo?
Yeah, because, CG, with your fine wines and your little boat trips over to your golf place where you do the country club at, you always get high and emotional about these things, and you forget that Tom Brady been doing the damn thing like this, okay? This ain't nothing new. Charlie Weiss ain't told us nothing we don't already know. The man got suspended and won a damn Super Bowl. They talked about Deflategate. He went back and won a Super Bowl. He left New England. Okay, he left, just walked up out of there, went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl. Gee, last year, he was a game away from going to the Super Bowl, threw for 5,000 yards. So Charlie Weiss, thank you for the information so you could bring G back down to the truth and he can see the light. Tom Brady this year is going to do what Tom Brady has been doing the last 15 damn years. He probably going to go to the safest bet. I said it last year. The safest bet in the NFL, if you really want to ever bet anything and think that it's going to happen, then the likelihood is the bet that Tom Brady is going to end up in the Super Bowl. So I'm glad, G, that it took Charlie Weiss, while all of us been sitting up here, you could have texted me, Jeff Saturday, or Darlington, or Mike T, and asked us the same damn thing. Do you got it wrong? Yes. But all that fine wine and golfing.
I guess so. I should have just been paying attention to the Hulk, right, Jeff Saturday? You won't like me when I'm angry. Tom Brady, is he angry, and is he going to take it out on everybody?
Absolutely angry. Listen, you heard him when he came back, and he takes the offensive line, all the bad things that people have been saying about him, and shows it to him at their lockers. Hey, man, this is what they're saying about you. Why? Because that's what motivates him. Charlie Weiss, Captain Obvious, right? This guy has played pissed off since he came out of Michigan because nobody wanted him, and he's shown everybody they should have wanted him. It's not going to change for him. Listen, he is the driver of Tampa Bay. He understands what his role is. When he walks in that locker room, there are blinders on. Whatever's going on outside his world, he understands how to get laser focused and bring everybody else around him into the fold. That's what he's going to do. That's his job. Listen, I heard Ryan Jensen just say it. They talked about the offensive line, all the adjustments. Jensen said, listen, when he re-identifies a mic because he sees a blitz coming, there are times when Tom Brady goes, hey, don't worry about it. He won't get here in time. I'll have the ball gone in 1.2 seconds. It shows you he has such command of the game. He's not sweating all the things we're up here, and especially you have been sweating.
And Greedy, Jeff's talking about tangibles. I think what's even more important is the intangibles. And what I mean by that, they have two inexperienced offensive linemen at left guard and center, Robert Hainsey and Luke Kadecki. And on Sunday night, the eyes of the football world will look at their left guard and center and say, wow, can they hold up against a really good Dallas defense? Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. And the confidence that Tom Brady will give them is the part that's impossible to measure.
Jeff Darlington, you're pretty connected to the situation. You know Brady pretty well. Now, in my defense, I know I'm drinking wine and playing golf, but I'm also listening to Tom Brady getting up there saying, man, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. And I mean, right. He didn't look or sound like the Hulk, right, a couple of weeks ago. So obviously something has changed if everyone is this level of confident, Jeff.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's nearly as simple as saying, like, if he wants to be pissed off and win, he will. He does have a lot of stuff going on. And it is very fair. I don't know what the knock is on your elaborate lifestyle, Greeny. I think it's a wonderful lifestyle. But I think it is very fair to still sort of wonder what exactly we're going to get out of Tom Brady. That being said, when it comes to the 11-day absence, I've talked to people in the building, I've talked to people around the situation, and they do look at it a little differently than maybe the rest of the public, who says, wow, he had to take 11 days off. Is he going to be dialed in for the season? They look at it and say, if he had not taken those 11 days off, this could have been a disaster, that he needed that time away. And again, you don't have to get into the personal side of it, but we can say that he needed that time off, that he came back more dialed in. That's what the organization has seen. And as a result, it does feel like he'll be better off because of it.
Go ahead, Swaggo.
You know what? It's five guys sitting up here. Let me give y'all some game in case y'all didn't know, because Jeff Darlington just made a great point, okay? Everybody out there in America, when you're married, okay, and you've been messing up as a man, and your wife take a little girl's trip for 3 days, and she say she gonna go, and she gonna calm her mind, she gonna settle in, and then she gonna come back, and she gonna work on it. And if the first time she speaks, she's got a lot of perspective, and she's calm, she leaving you. Okay, so here's the thing, G. This is what Tom Brady is doing. Tom Brady went and took a hiatus. He came back in those interviews, and you what you thought was Tom Brady sulking was Tom Brady being calm, okay? And Tom Brady about to leave everybody. And that means he probably going to end up in the Super Bowl, okay? That's what this was. 11 days, I'm going to get my mind right. Things going on. I'm going to settle in. And when he come back to the podium, he's not going to be loud. He's not going to go crazy and start talking about everything that transpired. He's going to be calm, because every man in America knows when you've been going back and forth with your wife and the next conversation she calm, you can start packing your bag, sir. All right. We can move on to the next.
Think about that on the golf course today with a little Chablis on my side. We'll see how that turns out.
Enjoy yourself, Greeny.
Tampa plays the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. The Dallas Cowboys, going back to February, have been a hefty favorite to win the NFC East. Until this weekend, Caesars Sportsbook has flipped it. Dallas opened in February as -150. Now the Eagles are the favorites, a slight favorite, but a favorite nonetheless, to win the NFC East, which begs the following question, Jeff Saturday. Which bet do you like? Should the Eagles be the favorites in the NFC East?
I'm sticking with the Cowboys. You know, Marcus Spears came on a little while ago, said everybody's off the Cowboys bandwagon, every blah, blah, blah. That may be true. They're still a very good football team. They're very good on defense. Dan Quinn, they get turnovers. They take the ball away, force turns. They do all the things right on that side of the ball. I have a lot of trust in Dak Prescott. I think the way he is going to elevate his game, this is his moment. You talked about Patrick Mahomes having a career-defining. This is Dak's moment. You got the right tackle going. You got the left tackle injured. You got my number one receiver. He's playing somewhere else. What do? I bring everybody in, and we go execute and handle our business. I believe that Dak Prescott's going to do that, and I think they end up getting the NFC.
Marcus, it's an interesting one because we're going to find out. We know that the quarterback position is disproportionately important in the sport. But the one advantage they have overwhelmingly over every team in that division is at quarterback. Dak is an established, upper-level, top-tier quarterback in the NFL. None of the other teams in that division can say that. The rest of the way, the Cowboys have a lot of questions. We're going to find out a lot about the value of a quarterback, and I guess that one in particular, Swagoo, as this season goes along.
Jeff Saturday, you about to make me cry, man. Because I got to go with Philly, bro. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Oh, no.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I got to go with Philly because of just right now, Jeff, right, before any game start. And let me put this disclaimer out there. Y'all know damn well I'm rooting for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So let's get that out in the open. But right now, the way these rosters are constructed, bro, I think they can play around Jalen Hurts. And that's the only thing, because we keep talking about Dak and his ability, and we all believe in that. But if you look at the way this roster is constructed, we're bringing in A.J. Brown with Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders in the backfield, which we don't talk about, an offensive line that's pretty dominant. You don't have to have – this is like Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Let me just give that example. Jalen Hurts will be fine. I think he'll play well. I think he'll play better than we've seen. But when you look at this roster surrounding him, he is not going to be asked to do over and beyond what a lot of these quarterbacks have to do in carrying their team. And that's why right now I give Philly the edge. Oh, that hurt.
My team, on the Cowboys bandwagon all the way through. Are you wavering?
Not a bit. Jeff, come on board. And when we don't see Swagoo on the sidelines before that home playoff game, we'll know why.
Yes, sir.
And we focus so much seriously on what Dallas doesn't have. We forgot what they do have. They have a great young receiver in CeeDee Lamb. They got a dynamic playmaker in Tony Pollard. They got a really good tight end in Dalton Schultz. They do have an overpaid running back in Zeke Elliott. But they also, let's give them credit, they drafted Tyler Smith in the first round. Yeah. It's not ideal losing Tyron Smith. It's not ideal to sign Jason Peters, but they are the best team in this division, and they have the best quarterback, and I still think they're going to –
I don't think
they go to the Super Bowl, but they win the division and host a playoff game.
Marcus, they may have the best player. Right. They may have the best player in the division, and he may play defense. Maybe Micah Parsons is actually the best player in the division and one of five best players in the sport.
OG is no question. That's why I got the Dallas Cowboys still being in a wild card playoff spot. Now, I ain't got them being dead in the water over the season. But when I look at this division, right, and Jeff can speak to this, Tannenbaum, Darlington, y'all been covering this long enough. Bro, the division hard. You can have the best team in the division and still lose the division, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like being out of the realm of possibility. But when I don't know what your offensive line is going to do, when I know that you are starting a rookie at left tackle, and it may work out. We've seen Tristan Wirfs jump in. We've seen Darisaw jump in. We've seen guys jump in and play well at that spot. There's a lot of change, though. Remember, guys, Lyle Collins is gone to the Cincinnati Bengals now. Zach Martin is the stalwart in there. Connor Williams left and departed to the Miami Dolphins, even though I didn't think he was great, the greatest thing since sliced bread. If that group, that unit, had a little bit more cohesiveness and I knew more about how well they would play together, then I would be on Dallas winning this division. But when all of those things transpired and I saw Tyron go out, even though he hadn't played entire seasons for the last couple of years, I still had him the second most important player for the Dallas Cowboys. So right now, I just have too many questions about this offensive line to say that they're going to win the division. If you want to hang your hat on anything, which I will, as far as them being a good football team, I think this defense will be good enough to carry them in some situations early in the season until they figure that out. But right now, I got to go with Philly, man. That roster just too good.
Let me give Darlington a quick final word. Go.
All I want to say is everything that needed to be said was said at the very beginning of this segment. Swagoo has the deepest voice I've ever heard in my life. If he's around my wife, I hide my wife, right? He sounded like Marvin Gaye at the start of this segment when he said, I can't believe I'm saying this! That was something I've never heard from Swagoo before. That's very uncomfortable, Swagoo. Okay, let's get that octave down again. I was uncomfortable.
I was uncomfortable saying it, JD. I was uncomfortable
saying
it, man.
I did not expect to go either. Well, let me take a quick break here. We got a million things working this morning, including the start of the season tomorrow night. Matthew Stafford comes in with a bad elbow. Should the Bills look to pressure him as much as possible? What's the game plan? The answers might surprise you. Plus, did you see what Christian Yelich did last night? Here's a hint. NASA is checking their satellites for damage. You'll see it next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
DraftKings Sportsbook Predictions is brought to you by DraftKings. They give us a question for today. And the question is, which player will have more receiving yards in the opener tomorrow night? Stephon Diggs or Cooper Kupp? Marcus, what's the answer?
I'm going Cooper Kupp, man. You know they're going to force feed him. They're going to move him around the line of scrimmage, keep him off the ball, get him open. And look, Matthew Stafford has built a level of comfort. Obviously, Josh has with Stephon Diggs. A lot of that becomes explosive plays for the Bills. You got to get Cooper Kupp the ball. It's a high-volume guy. He's going to have 10 catches, probably 11, and Cooper Kupp will end up with more yards.
We got stars rushing the passer, too, Mike T. Who will have more sacks tomorrow night, Aaron Donald or Von Miller?
Oh, agree. This is a tough one, but I got to go with Aaron Donald. We watched the tape. He was unblockable the last time they played the Bills a couple of years ago, taking nothing away from Von Miller. I just think right now Aaron Donald's the most disruptive player in the NFL. They'll move him around to try to avoid the double teams, but he will have a big night tomorrow night.
And then Darlington, who will throw for more yards tomorrow night, Matthew Stafford or Josh Allen?
Matthew Stafford will throw for more yards. Josh Allen will have more total yards with passing yards and running yards, but I do think that Stafford will light it up. I think he goes, you know, a lot of people question that elbow. From what I understand, it's just fine. I don't even think he'll be on a pitch count. I could see upwards of 30 passes, maybe even more like 35.
Well, let's zone in on that or zoom in on that, if I can, for a quick second, Jeff, and expand on that. The elbow has been the question. Is it from the people you talk to, is it your expectation that his, whatever it is their season is this year, his elbow will not determine it?
Not at this point. Look, going into this training camp situation, the plan from Sean McVay all along was to make sure that they had him ready for week one. It wasn't that they felt like they needed to like sit him down or anything like that, or anticipated sitting him down during the season. They want him to be at his best in week one, and they feel like the plan that they put into place was effective. Can he maintain through 18 weeks? That's a huge question, of course. But right now, week one, No pitch count, no limitations.
Well, let me ask Mike T from where an executive sits. Like, how do you see that situation with Stafford coming off the Super Bowl and struggling with the elbow?
Yeah, I think he plays really well tomorrow night in terms of if he's ever going to be fresh, it'll be tomorrow night. Their Bills have a vulnerable secondary, so I think it's a great matchup tomorrow night. In season, though, I am concerned if he doesn't keep getting the reps. They do have some new players. No Plumes at left tackle. They brought over Allen Robinson. So you want him to get reps, even though this is a great offense, same head coach, same play caller, there are some new pieces.
Swaggu, give me the game plan now. If you're that Buffalo defense and you know Stafford has had the elbow and whatever it is, what's the game plan tomorrow night, Buffalo defense in the opener against L.A.?
Oh, yeah, absolute, like, pressure. And you can do it with a four-man rush now that you have Von Miller because he changes the way you have to protect you quarterbacks, and he's going to determine some protection from that offensive line. And then when you get to him, you got to get him down. Look, Matt Stafford is tough, and we all understand that. But more importantly, you look at last year, Matt Stafford was having an issue early in the season with turning the football over. And if you can get around him, get some pressure on him, which Von Miller should be able to do, and help those other guys, the Greg Russos of the world, this should be a very interesting game from a pass rush standpoint. When it comes to that, and obviously as D lineman, you want to test to see if all this stuff we're talking about, his elbow fit being fine, is really fine.
Well, look, and the quarterback on the other side, Josh Allen, is the preseason favorite for MVP. So let me quickly, Marcus, ask you the same question I just asked Jeff. Yeah. Do you expect Stafford to throw for more yards than Allen tomorrow night?
Yeah, I do. I do, because I think the Rams will lean a little bit more on the passing game than the Buffalo Bills will, as crazy as that sound. I think this Bills offense is going to look a little bit different than we've seen. Tight ends, Ken Dorsey steps in for Brian Daboll. And I also believe that they want to take some of the pressure off of Josh Allen, asking him through a long period of the season to do what they've been asking them to do. Guys, Josh Allen accounted for 35% of the Buffalo Bills' rushes last year. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's going they are going to have to hand the football off with James Cook and Devin Singletary, who average almost 5 yards a carry. So it'll look a little bit different in Buffalo, which is why I think it'll lean heavily towards Matthew Stafford, because I do believe they'll still be a high volume passing football team.
Look, one of the reasons that Allen is a fantasy number one quarterback is because of all the rushing. But I know he's built like a linebacker, but that's a lot of hits for your franchise quarterback to be taking. Let's see if they're willing to keep doing that. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And during kickoff on Thursday night, all customers can win early. Just place a money line bet on either team. And if your team goes up 7 at any point during the game, you win instantly. Download the app and use the promo code GETUP when you sign up. Meanwhile, Marcus, did you see this last night? Coors Field, we know the ball carries in Denver. Christian Yelich hit a home run to right center last night, 499 feet. I believe it's the third longest that they've ever measured. What do you think?
Hit that thing to the Rockies. G, he must have got some of that Jobu before the game and put it in his bat. I know they checking bats up there, man. You hit a home run almost 500 feet. I don't care how much a ball carry, brother. That's a long way. That's as long as it took me to fly from Dallas to here.
He hit that thing all the way to Aspen. The home run, the longest by a Brewers player ever, going back to 2015. Second longest ever at Coors Field over that span. Only Giancarlo Stanton ever hit one longer. All right, coming up, we got Eli and Peyton back for another year of the Manning Cast. Eli's going to join us coming up live in a minute. What does he think of Tom Brady's return? What does he think is happening with Lamar Jackson? How much is he going to make fun of Jeff Saturday? We'll talk about all those things when Eli joins us live in a moment. And sneaky Josh in for Hembo today has got a tough question for Jeff Saturday. We have talked about Tom Brady. He's 6-0 against the Cowboys. That's the best record for any quarterback ever. Which starting quarterback has the second best record against Dallas all time? That's the question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And Jeff Saturday, here we go with all the pressure in the world on you. We've talked about Tom Brady being 6-0 all-time against the Cowboys. That's the best record anyone has against Dallas. Which quarterback has the second best all-time record against the Cowboys?
I feel like Josh is trying to get me to lean towards Eli Manning, you know, I'm going to go Brett Favre here. I'm just going to pull an old school. I really didn't have great, but I'm going to go on Brett Favre.
How about if I told you it's someone who once beat them in one of the most famous playoff games of all time? By throwing a pass that has been known forever as the catch by Dwight Clark. The answer
is
Joe Montana, 5-0 all time against the Dallas Cowboys. Eli played in the division against them, would have lost a lot of games.
I thought they battled back and forth back in the day. Obviously not. Montana put the beat down on them.
Joe Montana never lost to the Cowboys. He just didn't play them as many times as Tom Brady. We will have Eli Manning coming up for you shortly. In the meantime, I want to go back to something we did a little earlier. So Peter King, right? He wrote his column in which he made all of these predictions, and he predicted three interesting mid-season quarterback changes. One of them there in Pittsburgh. He's predicting that Kenny Pickett will replace Mitch Trubisky in mid-October, which would surprise some people, including me. In New York, he's predicting that Daniel Jones will not keep the job for the entirety of the season, that he will be pulled for Tyrod Taylor in December. And then in San Francisco, and we had a heated discussion about this a little earlier, he's predicting that Jimmy G is going to take the job back from Trey Lance in week 7. So we talked at great length about the San Francisco one. In fact, so long that we were not able to get into a conversation about the Steelers one, which I find fascinating. Yesterday, Mike Tomlin made it official. Mitch Trubisky will be his starter as the season begins. Marcus Spears, do you expect him to lose that job without injury to Kenny Pickett during this season?
Yeah, eventually. Gee, this has been a love affair from day one. And I think they're just giving Kenny Pickett a little bit of time and seeing if Mitchell Trubisky, let me say this, he can play his way into continuing to start. But everything that I've seen, heard, and what we've looked at in the preseason, that this thing is leaning heavily towards the right time to put Kenny Pickett in the game. And we know quarterbacks are going to have struggles throughout a season. Mitchell Trubisky will struggle, and there will be calls for Kenny Pickett. There will be this preseason film to go back and look at. There will be the progression that he's making in practices. And eventually, I think he will give way. They drafted the dude in the first round, so it ain't far-fetched what we're saying that we could see Kenny Pickett soon. And also, people have to remember, Kenny Pickett 45 years old. Okay, this dude's old. Like, so the maturity level is there as well when you start talking about, I'm being facetious, he's 24. I think he's older than some guys that's in their second and third year in the NFL right now. But I think he's ready, as opposed to trying to figure out where his mental will be. Can he handle the pressure of playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? He played right there in Pitt. There's a lot of things aligning for Kenny Pickett. I even think Mitchell Trubisky knows that. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let it go. It ain't no sense in us talking about the damn Giants. I think Tyrod Taylor, the best quarterback on the roster right now. Go ahead, y'all.
That may very well be the case. We'll see. We'll put them to the side for a minute because I am interested in the Pittsburgh one. But yes, Kenny Pickett was a first-round draft pick. Clearly, eventually, he becomes the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you know which quarterbacks don't get benched? Quarterbacks on teams that are winning.
That's right.
And maybe I'm on an island here, but I'm expecting the Steelers to do a surprising amount of winning this year, Jeff, with Mitch Trubisky as their starting quarterback, and as a result, not get benched. Pickett gets the job next year, and Trubisky maybe is someone else's starting quarterback in 23.
I agree with you. Here's the thing that you think about with Trubisky. This is the same blueprint as the Chicago Bears, and he took them to the playoffs twice, right? So when you think about great defense, that's what Pittsburgh have. They want to lean on their run game. That's what Chicago want to do with Trubisky, right? And then you have a guy who's an athletic quarterback who can make up for a below-average offensive line, which is in Pittsburgh. He's done all this and been successful in doing it by taking them to the playoffs twice. So as you're looking at him and you're thinking about, would you want to go put Kenny Pickett, no matter where he is in his development, behind that offensive line? If you watch some of the preseason games, I would tell you that's a resounding no. They were getting physically manhandled at the point of attack. They have to get better before I'd even consider putting Pickett in there.
Let me get a quick take from Mike T, and then Eli is ready to go. Mike T, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's harder to unwind taking Kenny Pickett in and out. So you go with Mitch Trubisky as long as you can. And Greeny, I see it similar. This is a team that has a very high floor, maybe a low ceiling because they can't score as other teams can in the AFC, but they're going to run the ball. They play good defense. Trubisky's the guy this year. Pickett's their future.
All right, we will talk more about all those as we go, but our very special guest is ready to roll here as we look forward to the start of the NFL season. It kicks off tomorrow night. We got the big one with Brady versus Dak on Sunday night. As we all know, this game's a rematch from last season's opening Sunday night when Brady and the Bucs beat the Cowboys 31-29. Dak was brilliant in that game. It should be fantastic. And here to break it all down as he gets set for his second season of the Manning Cast on ESPN, we are delighted to welcome the one, the only, the great Eli Manning, who is here on behalf of Verizon with Verizon's 5G ultra wideband network available to more than 135 million people across the country, streaming the game, updating your fantasy lineup, or trash-talking fans of your most hated rival is better and easier than ever. Speaking of trash talk, Eli, you will forever, and you may be the only person who has it, have the upper hand in trash talk when it comes to Tom Brady. So here is Brady after what was sort of a tumultuous offseason. He retired. He's back 11 days away. Now he's ready to roll. What do you expect from Brady at age 45?
I expect him to be as good as he's been the last 20-plus years that he's been playing. This guy knows how to play football. He knows the offense. He knows the players. So, you know, the fact that he took a little break during training camp, you know, guys have done that before. You know, Michael Strahan did it with us, except he just didn't report. He's like, I don't think I'm coming back. I don't know if I'm coming back. And he just waited until, like, the second week of training camp to come. Brady did, you know, he did the same thing, just a different approach.
Is that different when a quarterback does it? Like, some would wonder. Michael Strahan, great player, Hall of Famer, not taking anything away, obviously, from him. But the quarterback, it feels to me at least, has a lot more responsibilities. Will there be any impact of him missing 11 days in the middle of camp?
You know, I don't think it'll impact his play or him being rusty by any means. I think he knows the offense. I'm sure he was working out and doing, you know, drills. He's a person that has got a plan. He's got, you know, a regiment that he follows. And so I don't think it'll make a difference on that point. I think it's a little bit, you know, just for all the other players that are, you know, in Tampa, in the training camp, in hot days going through it, and he's, you know, on a little vacation or doing whatever. I think, you know, it's probably weird for the players, but I think once he gets back, once he gets in the game, he'll go out there, he'll play well, and they'll forget about it.
I want to ask you another quarterback question. So Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, two of the best in the entire sport, have lost their favorite targets from last season. Rodgers losing Devontae Adams and Mahomes losing Tyreek Hill. You would understand better than most. What specific impact do you expect to have on them? How will they specifically react to losing those guys?
You know, I think it'll have a bigger impact on Rodgers just because, I mean, Adams was his guy, and just, you know, he had different hand signals with them, and they just trusted each other. They could read each other's body movements. They knew exactly where they were going to be in these you know, these short little completions, the fade stops in the red zone. I mean, that was just his guy. When things were bad, he could throw it up to him, a big target, and he just made plays. And so, you know, I think Mahomes will be able to adjust, but, you know, Tyreek Hill is just a guy that you want to find ways to get him in, the ball in his hands. He was the big playmaker down the field, these long throws, these scramble plays. And so, I think it'll have a greater impact on Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Eli, it's Saturday here. Hey, listen, I know you and your brother are finally getting away from your vacations and leaving your – or you'll be in your palatial estates Monday, actually getting back to work. So my question, you'll be carrying him for another season of Monday Night Football. You're seeing Russell Wilson go back to Seattle. Tell me what you think's going on in his head, and what do you expect from Russell?
You know, I expect Russell to play well. I think it's a similar offense that he's been in. I don't think it's a whole lot of change from what, you know, the style of offense he's been playing. So I think, you know, some of the things when you are in a new offense, if it's a new cadence, if there's different checks, you are asked to do a few new things. Being on the road, and especially he's never played in that Seattle atmosphere.
Right.
They're going to be loud. They're going to be, you know, yelling, but he's going to be on the field now trying to communicate. So that first game in a new offense, new terminology, when it's loud, you know, it can be a little bit difficult. And so I think he'll overcome it. I think he'll play well. And, you know, they'll find ways to move the ball up and down the field. But he's going to be jacked up early. He's going to be excited. He's going to want to go in there and play well. And it's going to be a hostile environment.
Eli, I do want to ask you a question about the Manning cast, because Mr. Saturday here was a frequent target, if you will,
yeah,
of some of the fun. For those who don't remember, here was Peyton talking about his longtime center.
Tap the center on the butt. Center turns his head, doesn't snap it. Tap him again, right? Jeff Saturday loved the double tap, Eli. He loved me constantly spanking him, right? He preferred the double silent count as opposed to one.
So, Eli, should
such
we
a
be
a clown? Freaking clown. When no one can respond, that's when your brother's at his best work. You and I both know that.
Well, I think it was weird that, you know, Jeff, you requested even at home that they go to the double tap. And, like, you know, I think that was weird. Instead of using, you know, the cadence, you're like, no, let's just go with the tap. It just gets me fired up a little bit.
Eli, could we all be looking forward to a lot more fun at Jeff Saturday's expense this season?
I hope so. I mean, we have a lot of footage, a lot of, you know, mic'd up of them on the sidelines. Jeff just saying, let's run the ball more. We need to run the ball more. Peyton saying, no, we got to throw it. We got to, you know, run the play. I call. I mean, it's just such good stuff.
But Jeff, you're telling us you were actually the star of this team when you guys won the Super Bowl, as you were dumping Vince Wilfork here on your way to the championship. What about that?
Yeah, I've never seen a Manning have that type of physicality on another human being. So, you know, they can throw the pigskin around, but can they take another man to his back and carry Peyton on his back into the end zone, into the Super Bowl? Who should get more credit, the offensive line or your bro? You let the world know who should get the most credit.
You know, Jeff, that's why we take you out to those steak dinners. You know, we appreciate you. The quarterbacks appreciate you. Y'all keep us clean. Y'all keep us pretty. And, you know, we know it. And as quarterbacks, we try to thank you in our own ways. And we buy you gifts every year. We buy you steak dinners. You know, we love you. So we appreciate you. And we know that the rest of the world doesn't appreciate what goes into an offensive lineman and the hard work that y'all put in each and every week.
Professional answer. Smartest guy in the family. I do have one more thing before he goes. I know your center, Sean O'Hara, and Peyton's center, myself, have both just crushed it in the broadcasting world, but somehow we haven't made on to the Manning cast. My question is, do you feel like you would be overshadowed if the two of us came on in the Manning cast and really let the record be set straight in so many areas?
I think everybody would just be confused because you and Sean look so similar. They wouldn't know, like, wait, it's his double? Hey, who is that one? I can't tell the difference. Which one's a center? Who played for who? It would just create more confusion than there already is on the show. And so I think that's the concern. So we're working out those kinks. Maybe we'll get like a name tag for both of you. y'all, and then I think we can figure it out.
At well, T-Line, well, on behalf of Verizon, pleasure to see you, my friend.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, as
good
always. Good luck,
brother.
Monday night. We'll be watching Eli and Peyton back
right,
for another
so much,
season
guys.
Of the Manningcast. Great to see Eli Manning. All right, we are less than 36 hours from the kickoff of the season. So which team does Swagoo think is the best in the sport? You'll find out next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And the Big Swagoo is with us today, and he's got the power rankings. As the season gets underway, Marcus is going to give us the five best teams in the NFL headed into week one. Swagoo, take it away.
Gee, this may shock some people, but we're going to go 5-1. At number five, I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. Mm. Yes, you talked about earlier in the show, Patrick Mahomes going scorched earth. What you think Lamar Jackson is going to do? Remember, this team last year was riddled with injuries. The Cincinnati Bengals ended up in the Super Bowl, but it'll be much more difficult playing the Ravens this year than it was last year for any team that stepped on the field. At number four, I got the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, this offense, I don't expect them to take a step back. I still have questions about this defense and where they'll be compared to some of the defenses in the AFC with the top teams. That's why I have the Chargers winning this division. But ultimately, 15 is still there. Are they capable? Absolutely. They may end up in the big game. And speaking of the Chargers, that's who I have at number three.
Wow.
The additions made defensively with this football team. I don't believe Brandon Staley is going to make the mistakes in the fourth down situations that he did last year. You get Bosa on one side, you bring in Khalil Mack. The one thing that slept on this team was horrid in their run defense last year. They bring in Sebastian Joseph Day to shore that up from the Los Angeles Rams. J.C. Jackson is going to have a little time off, but was an 8-interception guy. Derwin James is back with a new contract, healthy. We got to remember that this team is loaded on the defensive side of the ball from a talent standpoint. Number two, Los Angeles Rams. To me, this team is poised to be right back in the big game again. I know we're talking about Matthew Stafford's elbow. I know we're talking about the things that transpired in the offseason, losing players, pieces being moved around. Aaron Donald is still there last time I checked. Last time I checked, Jalen Ramsey is there. This team has experience. They have a phenomenal head coach, and they got a quarterback that's going to will them to win games. And number one, the Buffalo Bills. They did what I thought they needed to do this offseason. Obviously, Brian Daboll leaves, which gives me a little bit. I just want to see what they are offensively. Josh Allen is ascending, bro. He's played well, but he's still ascending. We saw in the playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs that this offense is electric. They can go toe-to-toe with anybody. The addition of Von Miller, they'll get Tre'Davious White back after four games, I believe. Leslie Frazier is still there. The Bills have, this has to be it for this team. This literally has to be it. Spending money, right guys in the right positions. Gabe Davis taking a step forward. We have to see these five teams do what I think they're going to do. But the Bills, Rams, Chargers, Chiefs, and the Ravens are my top five at the beginning of the season.
I really like that list, and there's a lot of interesting things about it. I don't have a lot of arguments. Chargers feel high, but I said, Tannenbaum, where would you put the L.A. Chargers?
Number one. They have the best player in the sport in Justin Herbert.
You would literally – I know that you have adopted Justin Herbert.
No, he didn't.
Exactly.
No, he didn't just say that.
He did.
Mike T, what you just said?
Swagoo, they could pass the score. They could close out games with a pass rush. When J.C. Jackson comes back, they have a great defense with Derwin James – They have no holds on this team. They address the offensive line, and they have the best player in the sport in Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, we have renamed him, by the way.
The best player in the
Justin
sport,
Herbert hyphen Tannenbaum.
Exactly.
He has adopted him.
He's having holiday dinner.
Saturday, as you look at this list, what do you see?
I would put the Bengals. I actually had the Bengals at 3, and I have the Bucks at Bucks at 4, Chiefs at 5. So I think the Bengals have done exactly what he's talking about. They bolstered in areas they needed to, so those are two teams that would hit
Marcus, it's an interesting one to me. Cincinnati, Super Bowl, defending AFC champs, I should say, and they addressed the offensive line issues, which they had, versus the Ravens. Figures to be a great battle back and forth. Why do you like Baltimore, Swagoo?
I love the Bengals. Let's not get it twisted. They right there around 6-7. But I'm going to sit here and make the Bengals fans mad. The Bengals feasted on a horrible division last year. Mm. Let's just be honest. Baker Mayfield was injured and beat up. That now you get Deshaun Watson, even though you won't get him till 11 games into the season. The Baltimore Ravens had 16 guys on IR, okay? And the Pittsburgh Steelers had Ben Roethlisberger, who was a statue. Mm. And now they have a little bit of nuance to their offense, and defensively they still going to be a strong contender. Do I think the Bengals are good? Do I think they can win the division? Absolutely. But I'm going to go with a healthy Baltimore Ravens team over anybody in that division right now with Lamar Jackson playing quarterback.
Ooh,
the Bengals
like
have
too.
An opportunity to prove me wrong.
I like the pick. Jeff Darlington, give me a final word. Go.
Oh, I can't. I only say this because I'm far away and Swagoo can't do anything. That is a terrible list. Like, no. the Ravens, the Chargers. Like, come on. Where are the Bucks? It's obvious. It's
Thank
the
you.
Chiefs, the Rams, the Bills, the Bucks, and the Bengals, man. The Bengals.
Perfect. Perfect. That's what I'm talking about, Darlington.
Okay.
Go ahead, Marcus. Right.
Well, make your own damn list. They asked me for mine. and they got questions. They got
they
questions
knew you,
in Tampa.
They knew you would
look,
give
look,
us the easiest one to
you
talk
guys,
about.
I know all of you guys are calm about this Tampa Bay offensive line. And Jeff Saturday, you are the offensive line expert. I'm not comfortable with not knowing how your offensive line is going to perform. Even when you have good players, there's a continuity piece that needs to come together. And the Saints then beat their head across the drum, even with the good offensive line in this division. So I'm just going to take a pause on the Bucs. Yeah, are they good? Yeah, they a top 10 team. But I'm going to go with the Chargers at number 3 right now.
This is one of those days where I need another hour. I would Absolutely. Love to do it, but I'm running out of time. First Take is coming up. Is anyone betting against Tom Brady this year? Stephen A., Molly, Mad Dog Russo, and more, debating that at the top of the hour right here on ESPN. Get Up is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Hey, don't miss UFC 279 Saturday night from Vegas, a very intriguing card that'll be headlined by Khamzat Chimaev, taking on fan favorite and always entertaining Nate Diaz. Main card begins 10 Eastern on pay-per-view with the prelims at 8 on ESPN News. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Before we make way for First Take here in 90 seconds, one last look at Sunday night's Cowboys-Buccaneers matchup, the two-star quarterbacks. We saw these two teams go head-to-head in the opener last year. It was a thriller, as you see, 31-29. Maybe it will be again. I've got my favorite former Cowboy on the show this morning, Marcus Spears. Not sure if I'll see you again this week, so let me ask you right now. Who's going to win Sunday night, your Cowboys at home or Tampa Tom?
Gee, I've been all over the place with this one. And I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
I think their defense will be the difference in this game, man. I think Micah Parsons can dominate this game. I know there's questions on this Tampa offensive line. We've been talking about the Cowboys and how bad they're going to be. I believe this Sunday, Micah Parsons is going to take over this game, brother.
I like the pick of Parsons. Darlington, who you like Sunday night?
I'll go Bucks, but I understand where Marcus is coming from. I think this will be challenging, but not because of the defense as much as the offense. A healthy, fresh legs from Ezekiel Elliott with Tony Pollard, that's a potent dynamic in the Cowboys' backfield.
How about you, Mike T?
Going Dallas. These teams are mirror images. Both have questions on offensive line. Both are missing receivers, Godwin and Gallup. And I think the difference in this game is Dak Prescott's athleticism.
Very interesting list. All right, we will see what winds up happening there. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio with you in 60 seconds. I will make all of my picks, including who I think will be the MVP and the Super Bowl champ. So we'll see you there. But the fun continues here. It's time for First Take right now.